Well, good morning, and I want to wish all of our mothers that are watching today a very happy Mother's Day. And I wish that we could celebrate together here at Bible Baptist Church, but we're not able to do that. And so I just want you to know how special you are to your pastor and to your church. And I just want to wish you a very special day on this Mother's Day. And I hope that this service is a blessing to you. And I hope that in spite of all the circumstances we're living under, I just hope and pray that God would bless your day and make you realize how special you are, Mom. This morning, I'm going to be preaching a message entitled A Message of Hope for Moms in a Broken World. A Message of Hope for Moms in a Broken World. Let me ask you, what comes to your mind when you think of the word mother? I don't know about you, but I think of my mother. And I'm so thankful for my mom and that she's still with us. And she raised my brother and I, and she's been married to my dad for 60 years of marriage. And it's just I'm really blessed to have my mom and dad. And I wish my mom a happy Mother's Day today. And I also think about my wife, because when I think of a mother, I think of my wife, who is the mother of our five children. And there's not a more devoted mother than her. I mean, she just loves our children so much. And even though all of our children are out of the house, my wife, she still checks on them almost probably every day. She checks on them and she does things for them. And I know my kids are really blessed to have my wife for their mom. And she also is a great grandmother to, which we call her Lolly, to her two granddaughters. And so I also think of my mother-in-law, because the part that she had in forming my wife as a mother that's devoted to her children and devoted to her home. And so that's what I think of when I think of the word mother. And I'm sure that you probably think of those same things. And we think of a mother as a woman that's committed and devoted to her husband, to her children, and to her children's children. But the reality is that today in 2020, that's not a common picture. You look around today, it's not common to see mom and dad and that's faithful for life and devoted to their families and children. And I read in Child Trends in 2016, just 4 years ago, that 40% of the births in the USA occur outside of marriage. So I want you to think about that. Millions of children growing up without the kind of home that God designed for them. So what we're seeing over these last three decades is a massive generational change and the family being transformed right before our eyes. And that means that we really need to pray for the home, because the devil is working to destroy homes and marriages today. But I am thankful. I'm so thankful that the God of all grace, He specializes in transforming imperfect people, imperfect families, and bringing good results out of bad circumstances. And by the way, I want to say that we're all imperfect, sinful people. There is no perfect mother. There is no perfect father. There are no perfect children. There are no perfect families. But I'm thankful that God is a God of all grace. And as far as mothers today, yes, mothers should strive to be a virtuous woman, like Proverbs 31 sets out as a model. They should all strive to be that kind of woman. That's a great goal to have. But listen, it requires the grace of God to be that kind of woman. And this morning, I want to take you to a story in the Bible about a mother who became a widow and a single mom. And then after scraping by to raise her two sons, she endured the incredible heartbreak of losing both sons as young married men. And they did not have any children. And so this mother, she faced incredible losses as a mom. And yet, we're going to find in this story in the Bible that she experienced amazing gains by the grace of God. And this woman's name is Naomi. And her story is found in the Old Testament book of Ruth. And so I want you to go ahead and head in your Bible to the book of Ruth. You'll find it right after the book of Judges, right before 1 Samuel. And so as you turn there, I want to give you the main point of the story as right at the front. In the book of Ruth, we're going to look at a very relevant, hope-giving truth, and that is this: that God specializes in bringing good results out of bad circumstances. And I want to say that this message not only applies to moms living in a broken world, but it applies to dads, it applies to children, it applies to every one of us that are out there today listening to this message. These timeless truths apply to you, that God can take a bad circumstance in your life and He can make something very, very good out of that circumstance. And He did it for this family here in the book of Ruth. And listen, He can do it for your family. He can do it for your family. And not only did He do it for this family, but we're going to see at the end of the message that He did it for the whole world. And that's going to be exciting when we get to that point. I can't wait to get there. But I'm going to make this very personal, that God can bring, just like we're going to see in this family, God can bring hope to your family. You may be going through a bad circumstance. You may be going through a difficult time right now, but we're going to find out this morning by turning to the book of Ruth that God can take that bad circumstance and He can make it something good for His honor and for His glory. And so as we turn to the book of Ruth, we're going to start here in the first chapter. And this book begins by telling us about this very ordinary family that lived in Israel during the times of the judges. Now, this was about 12 centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ. And in those days, life was not easy. For during the period of the judges, we learned that there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you can see that in the book of Judges in chapter 17, verse 6, and also chapter 21 in verse 25. Now, as you look at this family, as we get into this story, you're going to find that the mother's name is Naomi. And her family consisted of her husband, Elimelech, and then they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And Elimelech, he was the father and the husband of Naomi. He made a bad decision that resulted in some very unpleasant outcomes for his family. Yet, we're going to see at the end of this story that God turned that, which was very bad, into a very amazingly good thing. And to appreciate this outcome, we need to go right to the beginning of the story. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 as we start out this morning in this message. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for the reading of your word. Thank you for the precious truths that you have presented to us in the book of Ruth. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this great truth that's taught here and use it in the lives of those that are listening to encourage and to help. And Lord, we pray if there's anyone that does not know our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would enlighten their eyes to see Jesus as the Savior, not only of the world, but that he wants to be their Savior personally. And I pray that today that they would turn their eyes to him and put their trust in him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, bless every mom that's listening to this message. Maybe some are having some hard times in their life right now. I pray that this message would be an encouragement and help to each and every mom and grandmother out there today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we see here is that Naomi's family, they were going through a very difficult time in the city of Bethlehem. That's where they lived. And then they left Bethlehem and went to another country called Moab. And Naomi's family moving to Moab was a bad thing. We're going to see that here in just a moment. It was a bad thing. Why was it a bad thing? Well, there are several things I can point out that it was a bad thing because, number one, because Elimelech, when he left Bethlehem during this time of famine, he was demonstrating a lack of trust in the Lord. Instead of turning to the Lord in this time of famine, in this time of need, Elimelech was running from his problem, and he was seeking to get needs met in other places besides the Lord. Now, Bethlehem, what's interesting and ironic about this story is that Bethlehem means the house of bread. It's a Hebrew word that literally means the house of bread. And here in the house of bread, they were going through a famine. And you may think, well, leaving to go to another place to find bread for your family, what could be wrong with that? Well, you have to look at the storyline of the Bible to really understand why that this was a bad decision. One of the things we're going to see later is it is a bad decision because it led to a bad outcome. But it was a bad decision, I believe, biblically, because the family here in this particular case, it was sent by God to awaken his wayward people. I want you to notice, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses had warned the children of Israel before he died about this very thing, that if they turned away from the Lord, that the Lord would bring chastisement upon them. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see in verse 23 and 24, it says, "And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed." And so God warned them. He said, "You turn away from me, you forget your God, and you go and turn to idols. Listen, I'm going to bring a famine upon your land." And that's what was taking place here. And so the proper response to this famine was not a relocation to another place, but it was repentance toward God. That was the right response. But we find here in this case that this man, Elimelech, he did not make the right choice. He did not choose repentance, but he chose instead to relocate. And so this man was walking in the flesh. He was walking by sight and not by faith. And here's another ironic thing about this story is that his name, Elimelech, you know what it means? God is my king. So his name, he was named Elimelech because that means God is my king. But God was not his king in this particular situation in his life, because he left God completely out of his decisions. And it cost him and his family a bad outcome. And so as we look here in verse number 1, it said that they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. And so sojourn is it's kind of like a word that they're just temporarily going to go there. They wasn't going there to live and stay, but they were. It was just going to be a temporary thing. But when you come to the end of verse 2 that we read, it says that, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And so what we find, what was initially, they were just going to go there temporarily during this famine, but it ended up, they continued there, and the Bible doesn't tell us how long. But it means that they stayed there for quite some time. In fact, long enough for his sons to grow up and get married and find wives there in Moab. And so what we find here, that moving to Moab, it was a bad thing, but so is this. Naomi's husband died while they were living in Moab, leaving Naomi as a mother to raise her sons alone. If you'll look in verse 3, it says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons." And so, we're not told here that if this was the Lord chastening Elimelech because of his poor decision, because of his lack of faith. But it's obvious that the Lord allowed it to happen. And in later on in chapter 1, verse 21, Naomi, she even considered it as something coming from God, because she said, "I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty." And so she attributed all of her trials that she went through in Moab as being from the Lord. And so that's a bad thing that her husband died and left his wife as a widow to raise their two sons. And so that's a bad thing, but so is this. We're going to see in verse 4 another thing. Naomi's two sons married non-believers. If you'll look there, it says, "And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And so here it says that after the husband died, they lived there for about 10 years. And so I want you to know that Jews were forbidden in the law for marrying a Gentile. And the reason why, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in those first 11 verses of Deuteronomy 7, the reason God forbid them from marrying Gentiles was because the Gentiles worshipped many gods, many idols, false gods. And so he said, if you go and intermarry, what's going to happen is they're going to turn your hearts away from me. And so God forbid them from marrying the Gentiles, but especially those of Ammon and Moab. And in Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 through 6, this is something that I would like to read. It says that an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God," it says, "he would not," let me get my page here, "he would not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." Now notice verse 6. "Thou shalt not seek their peace, nor their prosperity, all thy days forever." And so according to Deuteronomy chapter 23 there, it's very, very clear that Elimelech made a wrong decision to move his family to Moab, because the inevitable happened. He had two sons. They grew up. Who are they going to marry? Well, they end up marrying Moabite women. And these Moabite women, they were Moabites who worship false gods. In fact, if you would look in verse 15 in Ruth chapter 1, in verse 15, and this was later on in the story, but it says that Naomi, she told them, behold, thy sister-in-law, or she told Ruth, thy sister-in-law has gone back in unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So I want you to notice she returned to her gods, her false gods. And so the Moabites were, they were the ones that they did not. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to Moab. And by the way, the Moabites, they, the descendants of Lot, remember Lot's two daughters, they got Lot drunk and they went into their father and they had children. So Moab and Ammon were children of that illicit relationship between the daughters and their father Lot. But anyhow, Moab would not give them water or bread. In fact, Moab hired Balaam to curse Israel. And so the Lord said to Moses to tell the people of Israel that you're not to seek their prosperity ever. And you're not to seek their peace ever. And so this was a bad thing that was taking place here for Naomi's son to take these women to be their wives. And so Chilion married Orpah and Mahlon married Ruth. And so that was a bad thing, but I want you to get this. So is this. We find in verse number 5, Naomi's sons die. This is a sad thing. Think about this. Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And so they had not had children yet with their wives. And so these two sons of Naomi, they died. And so I want you to think about this. Please think about this. This bad decision. Listen, look at this bad outcome. We find that they left a famine only to find themselves with three funerals. Or Naomi found herself with three funerals. She buried her husband and then she buried her two sons. Now she's a widow living in a foreign land, and that is a bad thing. A foreign land that's a pagan land, and no wonder that Naomi, when she went back home to Bethlehem, that she told her friends in verse 21 of this first chapter, I went away full, but the Lord brought me back empty. No wonder she said that. She lost everything. All she had left was these two daughters-in-law. So I think we can make a pretty solid case that the move to Moab was a bad thing, at least in the sense that it resulted in great losses for Naomi and her family. Yet, this is exciting. I want you to listen. On the other hand, by God's gracious intervention, Naomi's family moving to Moab became a good thing. It became a good thing. I don't want you to get confused. It was a bad thing moving there, but God turned it around for good. How did he do that? I want to give you some wonderful thoughts and right out of this text and Ruth. And the first thing I would say that was good was that Ruth gained salvation. Ruth came to know the Lord God as her Savior. You know, because of this move, Mahlon, he married Ruth. And though this was not a wise decision on his part to marry a Moabite girl, yet the God of all grace worked through this bad decision to rescue this pagan girl from her gods and to transform her into a virtuous woman. Yes, I said virtuous woman, because if you look in chapter 3 and verse 11, that's the testimony. After Ruth found the Lord as her Savior, she had a testimony, and Boaz said, now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So isn't that amazing? that God took this bad outcome, this bad circumstance, and he turned it around for good. He took this pagan girl, Ruth. Now, the other daughter-in-law, she ended up going back home to her gods, but Ruth left to go with her mother-in-law, and she found the Lord. She converted to the true God of Israel. Look at that in verse 16. Ruth 1:16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a beautiful confession of faith. What a beautiful confession of faith. When Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, went back to her gods, went back to her home, Ruth clave to Naomi and told her these words, that she was not going to leave her mother-in-law, and she was not going to leave her mother-in-law's God, because her mother-in-law's God had become her God by faith. Now later, when she meets Boaz, and Boaz, he said in chapter 2 and verse 11, "It had been fully shown me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Now look at verse 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so this Ruth, she had a tremendous testimony of faith, because what we find here is that Ruth, she left her father, she left her mother, she left her false religion, her false gods, she clave to Naomi, and she come to put her trust in the Lord God of Israel. And so that was a good thing. God took this bad outcome, this bad circumstance in the life of this mother, Naomi, and he turned it out to be something good by saving this pagan girl, Ruth. Now, there's a second thing that we see that was good about this. Boaz gained a godly wife. Out of all this, Boaz gained a godly wife. Now, the couple, I'm going to have to really rush through this story, and but this Boaz, he was a near kin to Naomi. And back in the days of Israel, that they had their inheritance that would stay within their family. Now, if a lady, if she lost her husband and had no children, then a near kin, a near brother, or another kin person that was near, he would become what was called a kinsman redeemer. He would come and buy the land of the widow's husband that had passed away, and he would all take her as his wife, and then he would raise up sons in the name of the dead. And so this was called a kinsman redeemer. Well, Boaz, he was the near kin, and he was a farmer, and they were harvesting barley. And Ruth, she was a very resourceful young lady. She wanted to help support her mother-in-law, so she told her mother-in-law, "Let me go over here and glean the fields." And in those days, they would let poor people glean the corners of the field when harvest took place. And so she went out there to glean, and Boaz noticed her. When Boaz found out that she was Naomi's daughter-in-law, and he told her, "Now, I don't want you to go to any other fields. I want you to stay in my fields. We're going to take care of you." And he said, "I've instructed the young men not to bother you, and we know that you're a virtuous woman, so you just stay right here, and you glean from our fields." And he commanded his servants. He said, "Now, you stay away from that girl. You don't give her any problems. But in fact, he said, I want you to leave a few handfuls on purpose for her. And so every day Ruth would go out there and glean, and they would leave some on purpose. And she gathered much. And so she went back to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law, oh, where did you get all this food? Where did you get all this? And where did you glean? And she said, well, I was in this field of a man named Boaz. And Naomi was shocked. She said, oh, really? Really? Well, that's one of our near kin. And so she told Ruth, she said, this is what I want you to do. They're going to be having this celebration at the end of the barley harvest. And I want you to go in when Boaz sleeps out there by the harvest, by the grains. And I want you to go and pull the covers off his feet and lie down there. And when he wakes up, I want you to make a request to him for him to become your husband, your kinsman redeemer. And so Ruth did what her mother-in-law had told her. She was obedient, and she went, and Boaz became the husband of Ruth. He purchased her husband that had passed away, purchased all of his land and purchased her as his bride, and so she became his wife. And so he paid all the necessary redemption price to secure Ruth's hand in marriage according to the customs in those days. And so in verse 13 in chapter 4, it says, so Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And so this is a interesting story that we find that now she has gained a godly husband, and Boaz has gained a godly wife. And so God took a bad circumstance and he turned it around for good. That's a good thing. But there's something else. There's another good thing we see in that Boaz and Ruth were given a son from the Lord. We see in the next part of that verse 13, it says, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. Now, I want you to think about this. How did this bear, or why did this dear couple bear a son? Well, the text makes it clear, because the Lord opened her womb. Because the Lord gave her conception. And mothers, I want you to think about this. Do you view your children that way? Do you view your children as gifts from God that the Lord has placed in your care? I mean, it's obvious from here, had the Lord not opened her womb and given her conception, she would have not had a son. We need to realize that the Bible teaches very plainly in Psalm 127 that children, they're the reward given to us from the Lord. They're gifts from God. Our children, they don't belong to us. We are stewards of them. We're to raise them. We're to train them up in the ways of the Lord. But ultimately, they belong to God. And God is the one that gives us our children. One of the things that we learn in the book of Ruth is that God is sovereign. Nothing happens in our lives by chance, but they all happen because God is at work in our lives. It's so clearly seen here in how God worked in spite of all the bad things that happened to Naomi. He was bringing about some good things because he was at work. And so we find that Naomi, she loses her husband. She loses her two sons in chapter one. But when Ruth gives birth to a son in chapter four, Naomi gains a grandson. You know, what a blessing. And, you know, in chapter one, Naomi said, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. But here in chapter 4 and verse 13, it says that the Lord gave Ruth conception and she had a son. And so I want you to think about this truth. Please think about this. God is in control when bad things happen in our lives, whether it's a famine, whether it's a loss of a spouse or the loss of children. He is also in charge of all the good things that come our way, such as the conception of children and so on. The gift of grandchildren. And so what we find here, Naomi's family, they moved to Moab. Moab, that was not a good thing, but out of that not so good situation, God brought about something very good. Boaz gained a very special, and Ruth, a very special son. And Naomi gained a very special grandson. You know, in chapter 1, the women of Bethlehem, they heard Naomi lamenting about what had happened to her. But here in chapter 4, we see in verse 14 and 15, they came to celebrate with her. And it says, the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons had borne him." So they came to celebrate with Naomi, and God sent this grandson sent Ruth first to Naomi, and then this grandson to take away Naomi's sorrow and to guarantee a future hope for her family. Now, in the Old Testament times, having children especially sons, was of great importance. But here, the women of Bethlehem, they say that Ruth is more valuable than seven sons. You talk about a godly woman, a virtuous woman that Ruth was. But there's more. There's more. Out of all the losses of Moab, we learn that Ruth gained salvation. Boaz gained a godly wife. Boaz and Ruth gained a special son, and Naomi gained a special grandson. But here's something else. Israel gained a godly king. Israel gained a godly king. Look in verse 16. Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse unto him. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, Obed means servant. These Hebrew women gave Ruth's son the name Obed. It's kind of a strange thing to think that these women, friends of Naomi, would come and name her grandson and name him servant. Maybe they were thinking the fact that he would grow up and care for Naomi and serve her in her old age. But that's not all that he would do, because when Obed would grow up, he would have a son of his own named Jesse. And Jesse would then later grow up and have eight sons, as you can read about in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And the youngest of those, the eighth son of Jesse, was a shepherd boy named David. And he was that one who slew Goliath, that giant. And he was the one that ended up being the king over all Israel, Israel's greatest king. Isn't that amazing? God took a bad circumstance in the life of this mother and turned it around and gave Israel a godly king. The greatest king ever, David, King David. This is just so amazing to me to think about that they were living in the times of judges. There were no kings in Israel. Every man was doing right in his own sight. And God used this bad circumstance. He gave Israel David through this Moabite Ruth. Man, you talk about the grace of God. How the grace of God could work in the life of a pagan girl, turn her around to be a grandmother, a great-grandmother of King David of all people. Wow. Wow, that's just so amazing. And so it's kind of ironic. This is another ironic thing in the story that Obed, his name means servant, ends up being the grandfather of Israel's greatest king. Well, that's pretty amazing. And so we find here in this story, a family moving to Moab is a bad thing, yes. But out of it, God worked something good. He gave Israel a king. And this king made God's reputation really great in the world at that day and time. And that's a good thing. But there's something even greater than that. Something even greater and better that God did even than that. and that is this: the world gained a Savior. The world gained a Savior. I want you to know that the genealogy, if you go on in verses 18 through 22, it ends in verse 22. Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David. So it ends with David. And so what happened after David? Well, we have to look at another genealogy. And so if you'll turn in Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, and you look there in chapter 1, and I want you to notice in verse 2, Abraham beget Isaac, Isaac beget Jacob, Jacob beget Judas and his brethren. And it goes on, and we get to verse 5, and it says, and Salmon beget Boaz, of Rahab. And Boaz beget Obed, of Ruth. And Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David, the king. Now, you go on down in this story, and you find that in Jacob beget Joseph, verse 16, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Isn't that amazing? Ruth is in the genealogy. Ruth and Boaz is right here in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 5. And so now we know what the story of Ruth is ultimately about. It is ultimately about how that God used something very bad 12 centuries ahead to move his plan forward another step, a step closer to Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now, why did Jesus have to come? Well, in verse 21, here in Matthew chapter 1, we're given the reason. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. That's why Jesus came. To save us from our sins. So let's back up. A family moved to Moab. They experienced incredible loss. This mother lost her husband. What grief she must have gone through. She lost her two precious babies, her sons, and incredible grief that she went through in losing her sons. And she said, the Lord is against me. And God took and turned her life around. God turned this bad circumstance into something good in Naomi's life. And not just in her life, but in the life of you and I. You know, God took that in Ruth all those many thousands of years ago to prepare the way for a Savior to come to this world, that God could send his Son into this world to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And so this is not only a good thing, but this is a great thing that God has done. Out of something bad, God has done something glorious and great. It means that you and I, no matter what we've done, no matter how bad we've messed up our lives, no matter how much sin in our lives, we can be saved from our sins because Jesus took the penalty of those sins on the cross. And you know, Ruth, we're going to see her in heaven one day because she put her faith in the Lord God. And years later, 12 centuries later, the Savior came, who was a descendant of hers, a Savior came, who died for her sins so that she could go to heaven. So that you and I could go to heaven. Because Jesus conquered sin. He conquered the grave. And he rose up from the dead, and he gives eternal life to any person who would repent of their sins and put their trust in him. That's what every single mom needs to know on Mother's Day, that God can take a bad circumstance and he can turn it around to something good. And maybe it is that you have not been saved. Maybe you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Listen, Jesus can transform your life just like he did Ruth's life, just like he did in Naomi's life, just like he did in my life. Jesus can take and change your life. He can take a bad and make something good out of it. Out of the losses of Naomi's life, we learn here that God provided the world with a Savior. But even that's not the end. There's something else that's good that God brought out of Naomi's losses. Yes, this is the seventh and last thing. Something good that God brought out of these losses. You may ask, well, what could there be better than Jesus? What can there be better than our salvation? Well, there is something. There is something we find in chapter 4, in verse 4, there in the book of Ruth. It says that the Lord's name was praised. That they blessed the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without a kinsman. You know, out of all of this, the Lord's name was praised. The Lord's name was glorified. That's why God gave Naomi a redeemer named Boaz. That's why God gave the world a redeemer named Jesus. That's why God does everything that he does so that he might receive what he alone rightfully deserves, and that is praise and honor and glory and blessing. Because think about it. Who brought this family through the pain? Or who brought this mother through the pain that she endured? Who then provided the Redeemer Boaz? Who then blessed this couple with a child? Who then became the forefather of Jesus himself? Well, the answer to each of those questions is the one who deserves our praise, God himself. May I ask you a question? Are you giving God the praise that he deserves? Did your lips give him heartfelt praise this morning when we were singing? Did your life give him praise this past week for his redeeming love? Listen, my friend, he alone is worthy of praise and honor and glory. He's worthy for many, many reasons, but the one reason that we're pondering today, that he's worthy of our praise and our honor, our glory, our surrender, our service, our all, the one reason is because he specializes in bringing good results out of what was maybe a very bad circumstance. He did it for Naomi's family, Ruth, and he can do it for your family as well. And our proper response, as we see in Ruth's life, is to trust him. To come and trust under the shadow of his wings. To take shelter under him. Listen, God has provided us a kinsman redeemer. Jesus is our kinsman because he was made according to the flesh of the seed of David. He was born of a virgin, but he took on flesh and he went to the cross and he paid the redemption price to purchase us out of our sin and to purchase us unto himself and to give us eternal life. He is worthy of our praise today. As we close this message, if you do not know this Redeemer, I want to urge you today to look to Jesus, to come to him in humility, to come to him and ask him to give you eternal life, to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, to recognize that he died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, that he's a living Savior. He's the way, the truth, the life. Would you do that today? I want you to pray with me as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful story of your grace, of how you can take a bad circumstance and make something good out of it that brings honor and glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, for what you did in the life of this mother, Naomi. She went through incredible loss, but she experienced amazing gains by your grace. Lord, what a blessing. What a blessing. And Lord, that she became the great-grandmother of King David. Man, what a blessing. And not only that, she's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the kinsman redeemer of the world, the only begotten of the Father who came to die for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the redemption price for us and for me. I pray, Lord, today, Lord, for those that need to come to Christ, that they would do that right now, that they would call upon your name, confess you as their Lord and their Savior at this moment. And Lord, I pray for every mother listening, Lord, that this message would be an encouragement, that they would come and trust you and rest in you to work the good out of bad things in their lives, Lord. Lord, because that's what you specialize in doing. You specialize in making everything beautiful in your time. Lord, as we go through seasons of life, Lord, the end result is you're going to make it all beautiful. And thank you so much for that truth today, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today here at Bible Baptist Church and our online service. And once again, I want to wish you mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I appreciate each and every one of you so much. And you're just a special part of our church. I mean, I don't know what we'd do without mothers in our church that have such love and compassion. And so thank you so much. And I hope you have a great day and a very blessed day in the Lord. And I hope that this story in the book of Ruth was an encouragement to you. You know, and we need to just praise our Lord today for all of his blessings that he's given us. And if you're here and you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to do that. If you want more information, please email me at pastor@bbcdumas.com. And please comment on our page or send me an email. And we'd love to hear from you, how the Lord's blessing you. And I love each one of you. And have a very blessed day.